You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Globally, we're seeing a large increase in the number of people who have been forcibly displaced. By the end of 2025, we saw numbers that were three times those from 15 years ago. Looking forward, estimates are that by 2050, we may see up to 216 million people displaced globally. However, these increases have been accompanied by a decrease in protection. Funding has shrunk from meeting just over half of requirements in 2024 to just over a third in 2025. Given this need and the crises we're witnessing globally, researchers at the University of Auckland Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies, alongside World Vision New Zealand, have argued that New Zealand's current ad hoc approach is not enough. Instead, they've proposed the adoption of an emergency protection framework for Aotearoa New Zealand that would provide a more efficient, fair and transparent pathway for refugees, consistent with New Zealand's international, humanitarian and ethical obligations. So, to hear more on the need for this framework and what it would look like, I spoke with one of the authors on this proposed framework, the University of Auckland's Dr. Timothy Fadgen. Kia ora, Dr. Timothy Fadgen. So, starting off with a bit of a double-pronged question, why is there a need for an emergency protection framework in New Zealand? What are we seeing overseas, and how does our current model stack up?
Kia ora. Thanks for talking about this. It's a really important topic to us at the Center for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies, and also with our partners at World Vision, and also for partners in the community here in New Zealand. So appreciate you talking to us about it. Well, it's a couple things. One, we have been doing some research into this and obviously work with the community on a regular basis on a whole host of things related to refugees and asylum seekers here in New Zealand. And the sort of reason for it being urgent at the moment is kind of due to a couple of reasons. The main driver is that we continue to live in a world with a high degree of instability overseas that can be both man-made with conflicts, as we're seeing sort of in various stages across the world, but also due to natural occurring events like climate disasters and naturally occurring events, eruptions and earthquakes and things that put people's lives at serious risk. That happens to be coinciding in this moment in time with a decline in global investment in responding to these disasters. So it sort of created a perfect storm of need for populations at risk.
So last week we had Fatima Sanusi from the Sudan advocacy network Aotearoa on, discussing her petition to establish a special Sudan visa modelled on the Ukrainian approach. Now, they pointed to how the humanitarian crisis in Sudan has entered its fourth year, and there's been no real kind of special action from the New Zealand government. Meanwhile, with Ukraine, I think it was less than 3 weeks after Russia began their invasion, we created the special Ukrainian visa. So I guess my question is, how equitable or how fair is our current approach in situations like that?
So this is one of the core arguments, I suppose, that we put forward, or observations as a result of our research into this. This issue with New Zealand, it's very decisions about this, as your previous guests had noted, are done on an ad hoc basis, and that leads to inconsistency. And in our view, there's three main features to this critique. One is it's inequitable. It tends to offer different levels of support, legal status, family reunification rights. That's based on sort of just this sort of randomness of the circumstances. So some conflicts, this results, it will result in people being granted these rights, and in other cases, no. And that there's no real necessarily rhyme or reason to that. It's just sort of either the political agitation at the time, the public attention paid to a particular issue. But it's not a policy that's being driven by principle or an efficient approach to government, which our current government is big on advocating for. It's a process that basically leaves these determinations to the consequence of time. There's cost to a process that's not guided by a sort of set of principles or guidelines. And we think that that can be improved, certainly. But it's also not to mention there's just a lack of transparency, as your previous, you know, your question sort of suggested. The public isn't really clear why some crises get this sort of, you know, emergency visa set up in a special case and then other ones don't. And that's not really a good way to run government in our view.
And what kind of experience does that leave for refugees who come to New Zealand? Because it sounds like quite a precarious position to be in.
Certainly. And I think, obviously, the advocate that you had on before can speak more powerfully from the perspective of the refugees' experiences themselves or the asylum seekers themselves. But in our experience and research and engagement with these communities, it just leads to additional strain and uncertainty, particularly for those that are worried about family members who are left behind. So for those who are here when a crisis occurs, it's just leading really, for the reasons we talked about, to just exacerbating the problems that these naturally occurring events are already presenting to these populations, compounding that suffering, really.
So what would this model that you've proposed with your partners, what would this model look like, broadly speaking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically what we're suggesting is, unlike, you know, to respond to the critiques that we've sort of put forward, the proposal would suggest, in our view, a predictable and transparent and equitable solution, okay? First, there'd be predefined activation criteria. So rather than relying on this ad hoc sort of approach to some conflicts that look a lot like others get protection and those other ones don't, there would be a set of criteria and competent individuals within the government and from the community, in our view, that would work together to identify the triggering events. And usually that's going to be caused by a loss of access to, let's say, healthcare or water either in a war situation or in an environmental crisis. So some acute event that poses a significant and urgent humanitarian need. The other aspect of this is it's an anticipatory activation. So if there's early warning signs that something is likely to occur or become much worse in the near future, this policy would allow for the activation of this mechanism at an early stage. So instead of waiting until people are dying, this would allow for a more proactive response. And basically what we've suggesting, using the existing government models in certain ways, but just sort of solidifying them, is creating three standing visa streams: the emergency humanitarian visa, a bridging visa, and also the community sponsorship pathways program and an expansion of that. Now, I should say that this is sort of late-breaking news because I just was notified of this just moments before we get on this call, but the government has just announced that the community sponsorship model is going to be made permanent, which is good news. However, in the time that has been running as part of the refugee response program in New Zealand, it's been in excess to the quota of refugee number of 1,500, which was a hard-fought battle to get the double the quota from several years ago, so some of your listeners might remember that. Then to top up over that 1,500, the community sponsorship model was put in place that allowed for community members and family members to sponsor refugees and to come into New Zealand that sort of were in excess of the quota system. But now that the government has made it permanent, 50 in the first year and then 200 under this program in future years, they now want that to be included within the quota. So we're essentially reducing the government's commitment to take in refugees as a whole. So even since this brief has been written, this is a sort of rapidly moving policy space, and we would still maintain that the government rethink that decision and that these numbers be expanded and that this mechanism be available to people.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, the refugee quota of 1,500 people, the proportion of where those refugees come from is kind of worked out ahead of time. I think it's 3 or 4 years in advance. So would your model, it would sit outside the refugee quota?
That's right. Yes, this would be an additional mechanism that would allow the government the ability to target these sorts of crisis situations and to have an ordered humanitarian response. That's consistent with New Zealand's, ethical obligations, international obligations, and humanitarian obligations.
Right. Now, you've mentioned that it's a great opportunity to adopt a framework like this, given that it is an election year. However, in an election year, we do tend to see a lot of anti-immigration rhetoric as well, and we're seeing that a lot across the globe right now. How important would community buy-in be for this framework?
Political support for it?
Yeah.
I think, obviously, any sort of policy initiative like this, particularly in an election year, is going to require some political support. So there's no question about that. I do think, though, there is a little bit of a trap that people fall into in equating the general or generic immigration settings of government. So as government's making decisions about who to admit or who it wants to encourage to immigrate here for economic reasons with its humanitarian obligations. And in my view, for too long, these two categories have been sort of intertwined. And what we're saying here, and we have an opportunity in looking at this particular mechanism to say, there are instances where there are purely humanitarian reasons to intervene and to offer people a pathway to safety and to potentially to permanency here. And this mechanism would allow a very careful and thoughtful and deliberate approach to address that problem. I think that a political party looking for, something to campaign on, or if confronted with a difficult question from a constituent about a question like this, could thoughtfully make the distinction between those two types of arrivals to New Zealand. So, yes, it's important, but I also think it's a question of messaging and not falling into a convenient trap of sort of scapegoating migrants of all types, including those who are escaping persecution or in fear of their lives from these sort of natural occurring or conflict situations.
That was the University of Auckland's Dr. Timothy Fadgen on the Emergency Protection Framework for Refugees proposed by researchers at the University of Auckland Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies alongside World Vision New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.